Well, we talked about this last week, and it's going to be in the news again this week, the fact that the Labor Party is proposing that property developers not be able to sit on councils. We had the local council elections, obviously, in New South Wales over the weekend. And already one prominent councillor has been reported to ICAC through the Minister for Police and Emergency Services, David Elliott. More on that later on. But is this suggesting that all property developers are crooks? Is that what they're suggesting? There are safety checks already in place. They just need to be enforced. If there is a conflict of interest, if a councillor has any interest at all in anything being voted on in council, they must declare it and leave the room. And if they don't, they can be reported to the ICAC. Charles Tarby, the owner of Century 21, our real estate guru, is on the line. You're a bit fired up about this, Charles. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Luke. You know, so the biggest issue is that this came about probably a few years back, where a couple of cases were proven against councillors, and I think it really made the headlines quite heavily because of one particular council. A couple of councils were sacked, but the important thing is what you've said at the start: are all developers crooks? And you know, it's really sad to say, in every industry there are people who do the wrong thing.
But shall we say, oh, next used car salesman can't sit on council?
Yeah, exactly. And there are plenty of used car salesmen that have been on council. I know. I also heard that the same with real estate industry. They don't want people on council who've been in real estate. And I think that is a real problem, because you are all of a sudden tarring everybody with the same brush. It's a very sad situation.
Look, I understand that the Eddie Obeids and the Ian McDonalds have maybe dirtied the water for a lot of people, but they are few and far between. If the in-place council regulations and the New South Wales government regulations or state regulations are enforced, you don't have a problem.
Exactly. And I've seen it before. I've seen lots of great people on council have done some fantastic things. But there's different councils. Luke, there are some councils that just seem to be completely at opposite ends to others. I live in the Blue Mountains, and the Blue Mountains Council is fairly well opposed to overdevelopment, and that's very well known by everybody. There are some councils in the Lower North Shore in Sydney that when you lodge a DA for any development, you go straight to the Land Environment Court at pretty much the same time, because you are going to get a rejection before they even look at things. And so councils, in my view, are fairly confused about the way things are done. And I note that on a couple of the radio stations through the week, a couple of talkback, that there's one particular station where they're really focused on councils because there are so many councils getting bad raps. I just think at this point in time, there doesn't seem to be any consistency around the traps. And that's the part that bothers me the most, as to why one, like as I set up in the Blue Mountains, I have to tell you, they tried to get a McDonald's store up in Katoomba many, many, many years ago.
Yeah, I remember this.
Between council and residents, they just got knocked back. And you know, many of us would say, hey, that's great, you know. But the reality is there's no consistency, and that's the issue that I struggle with when you're dealing with different councils across the country.
And then you do look at some developments, like near where I live, and you think, how the hell did that get approved?
Absolutely. I'm shocked at some of the things that get through. And, you know, I love watching real estate and watching development, but I'm also anti-overdevelopment too. I mean, I love where I live, and I love the fact that it's not overdeveloped. But I do see some things go through, and you do try to wonder. And I think that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the fact that occasionally something comes through. Who was it? It must have been a developer or a real estate agent. And I think that's the issue.
A lot of councils give their general manager delegated authority. That is, that they can approve some developments, and the price has to be capped at a certain spot. But the general manager can approve some developments with delegated authority without having to take it to council. Do you think that's a good idea?
Look, at some point in time, the buck has got to stop somewhere. And you have a general manager in council for a reason. As I said, I think sometimes they go over the top. I remember when I tried to put a driveway in from a layback from the road to my house, and they insisted that I get a draftsman architect to draw up a slab, which I had to lodge into council and get a DA approval. Even though people put them in everywhere, because I'm in the industry, I went down the appropriate road, and they really made me jump over a number of hoops just to get a slab put in from the road. So
you do wonder.
I think it's more so the inconsistencies, whether it's the GM or whether it's councillors and so on. But the general manager is there, and I think the buck should stop with the general manager. If the general manager is not happy with some of the decisions, then they should be reporting them appropriately.
You do wonder how some things get approved and some things don't. Charles Tarby's with us, Century 21, our real estate wrap-up. Let's do a lap of the map. What happened on the weekend?
Really good, actually. When I say good, it's starting to come backwards, which is more balanced, and that's where I think it should be. We have a 69.9% clearance rate with over 4,000 auctions. Now, 75% of those were in Sydney and Melbourne, so that's really telling you something. And if you think about this time last year, it was exactly 69.9%, same thing. So it's coming back, Luke. It's coming back to a buyer-seller more balanced marketplace than I don't like to use the word, but it feels that way, the ridiculous sort of market we've been in where it's just gone crazy and buyers have had to compete heavily against each other because there's no stock. And the stock levels have risen in Sydney and Melbourne, respectively, between 42 and 38% over this time last year in just Sydney and Melbourne. So that'll give you an indication as to why that's changing, and very much in line with our predictions over the last few months.
Which were the best capital cities?
Canberra did well, 82.1.
It's done well all year.
It has. It's actually down, Luke, from last week. But interestingly, Sydney and Melbourne were down over this time last week as well, 67.3 and 69.4 respectively. But Brisbane, Adelaide and Canberra still pumping along very nicely, mate.
All right. Hey, listen, good to talk to you, Charles. We'll talk again soon. Have a great week, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Luke.
Did you enjoy the race?
Oh, that was awesome yesterday, mate. I was on the edge of my seat, and then right at the very last minute, poor old Shane Van Gisborne got smacked, and sadly, with his car, with his tyre, but it was great. It was an interesting day. It was hot and cold, and we just had a nice time watching the race.
So long as you had a good time. Hey, Charles, catch up soon, buddy. Charles Tarby, Century 21.
Sorry, Luke. My wife's team, Red Bull, that's where the disappointment was for her, and I'm very disappointed for her, mate. Sorry to interrupt you. Have a good day, Luke.
Mate, don't use my radio platform as a way of sucking up to your missus. That is seriously poor form, and it's transparent, yep. And I saw it coming a mile away.
Yep, and I agree with you.
Well done. Well done.
Thanks, Luke.